Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Good morning. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine on this second weekend of December. Lynette here, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. Good morning, doctors.
Good morning. Yes. How are you today?
Morning, Lynette and Dr. Mixon.
We all have coffee and tea and ready for an exciting show today. Boy, our last show, woo, lots of information and we talked, we ran the gamut of things that we discussed. So if you have something you want to talk about, we are live in the studio and we would love to talk with you about maybe something you're concerned with health-wise for you or a loved one, maybe a recent diagnosis, maybe some symptoms, or you heard the big word rapamycin or resveratrol or something and you're going, okay, so what is this? I've kind of heard about this. I'd like to talk more about it.
But you missed the other fun ones, dasatinib.
Dasatinib, yes. Oh, so many things we can talk about, and we are wide open for you. Here is that number to get through. Phone lines are open. Don't wait till the very end. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Okay, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, let's dive in. What's making medical news?
Dr. Mixon is making medical news.
Dr. Mixon. Yes. Okay, fill us in, Dr. Mixon. What what have you been up to?
Oh, can we talk about that on the air?
Yeah.
No, let's see.
Medical wise.
Oh, medical. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I mean, what the hell? We can talk about the semaglutide.
Let's talk about it, Jerry.
Yeah, you know, semaglutide is one of the new weight loss drugs. It was designed as a diabetes drug, but is being used all over the country now for weight loss and has even been approved by the FDA for weight loss. And it is a little on the pricey side, runs about $1,000 to $1,200 a month. Mm-hmm. But we are trying it out in the clinic with a few folks. And, of course, my wife always thinks she's fat, which I just kind of always laugh at. If she's got three fat cells on her body they've never met, you know, she wears an extra small top and a double zero pant. But as Chinese girls go, that's not thin. Mm-hmm. When she's in China, she has to wear a medium because American sizes are
different.
Very different, yeah. So in China, she's a medium, but here she's tiny. And I am the designated risk taker for our clinic. So
that's right.
I am trying. I am one of the people in our clinic that is trying the semaglutide.
Yeah.
And you have to start with this shot as a – it's a little tiny subcutaneous injection, almost microscopic needle. You don't feel it at all, so it doesn't hurt. But you take a small dose each week for 4 weeks. Then you double up the dose for the next 4 weeks. And then you raise the dose again for the third
set. You talk to your doctor. You discuss your symptoms. Yeah. And then you do that, Jerry.
And if you're doing well, you ratchet it up. And the reason she brings that up is some people have significant side effects from this drug.
Yeah.
If you tolerate the medication, you can almost guarantee you're going to lose weight because it decreases appetite. It changes the way you metabolize carbohydrates, and it really, really causes people to lose weight. But some people get severe abdominal cramping. They get nausea. I mean, they just get miserable. So clearly, if the drug is ruining your life, stop the drug.
Right.
But for people who tolerate it well, it's a great weight loss aid. We started on that tiniest low dose. We aren't supposed to feel anything for this first 4 weeks, and my wife does not. She mm-hmm. said, "I can't tell I've taken it." Mm-hmm. I, on the other hand, appear to be very sensitive to the drug because even at this tiny starting dose, mm-hmm. I'm having significant effects from it. Mm-hmm. I have lost my appetite. I can't finish a meal. Mm-hmm. I ate only part of my breakfast this morning. I'm leaving food on my plate at lunch. And I don't eat dinner, so I go from lunch till breakfast the next morning. I'm normally ravenous at breakfast. Mm-hmm. I left about one third of my breakfast on the plate this morning, even though I had not eaten since lunch yesterday because I'm not hungry. Mm. Now, I'll be really hungry by lunchtime, mm-hmm. but then I'll fill up real fast. Mm. The other thing I'm noticing is that things taste a lot stronger to me than they usually do. I normally love coffee. I have, several cups a day. I can't drink much anymore. It tastes overpoweringly strong and bitter to me. Mm. So I've really had to cut down my coffee intake just because it doesn't taste good. And even tea, when I have this big thermos mug that I fix my tea in, there's a lot of water in there, so I normally add two or three tea bags.
Mm. Okay.
I can't do that now. Mm. I can only put in one despite the large container because even one tastes stronger than three used to taste.
Mm, wow. Mm.
So it's altering my taste perception, and it's really killing my appetite even at low doses. Mm-hmm. So, for me, I'm one extreme. Most people don't have any reaction at this dose.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. And, again, thank you for trying the medication ahead of schedule for us. But the reason we are doing this is because we've been thinking and reading a lot, mm-hmm. reading the literature, reading the papers, waiting for this. And once they started publishing that the semaglutides are improving cardiovascular profile and not just a weight loss drug, they're not only just improving their diabetes, but it has long-term impact on a patient's health. That's when we felt it was okay to start. Yeah. So not only that, longevity patients have the benefit and the advantage of using these with us along with everything else that we do. But we're actually now opening our doors and we'll do a comprehensive weight optimization program, weight management program for non-longevity patients as well. And we are been working on it for months. We'll launch in January. And this will be one part of that whole segment. Not everybody will need it. So it'll be an interaction with your physician and your provider, and you'll then determine with your provider which is the best course for you. We're going to give you tons of handouts, information, literature. Our MAs will support you. You'll come and meet the whole team. We'll educate you a lot. And then medication will be a fraction of the whole protocol. But obviously, these drugs play a huge role in helping you succeed. And our goal is for the long haul.
Sure. Well, and if unlike me, if you're one of those people that react to it normally, it'll be a couple of months into the program before the drug really takes hold.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, we start you on a program. We want to get you losing weight right up front. Mm-hmm. But then the semaglutide kind of phases in over time.
Right. Yeah, so a lot of thought has gone into this. Eventually, it's all about health and wellness, promoting from the inside out. But when you start feeling better, when you start seeing results, it compounds the feelings and it helps you and motivates you to do more. So whichever way you need it, whether it's nutrition or whether it's lifestyle or it's supplements with vitamins or hormonal support, we have it all put together in our programs anyways. Now we're starting to do things that, people feel they don't need the whole program, so they don't want to do all of it with us. Now we're starting sections of the program that we'll offer to non-longevity patients. For example, with the IV therapies, we are now able to do that for anybody. In fact, we have a promotion going on right now. You can buy a package of three. You can keep them for yourself, or you can share with friends and family, and we will actually discount these packages when they're purchased all together.
Okay, and why don't you explain what the IV therapies are?
Oh, with pleasure. Yeah. You know, we've stood on the sidelines on this also for a very long time, and you know, I'm very careful. Dr. Jerry rolls his eyes whenever I say that. But
well, you are. I don't describe you as a conservative Hindu wife.
Right. But we, you know, our physicians are trained for IV therapies. We're not sending you to a lab or having somebody do it that has this no knowledge. You will see a physician. You will have a trained medical assistant present at the same time. We are fully trained, and we do single-dose vials at the moment that basically are designed just for you. We're not mixing vials. Therefore, we're reducing the likelihood of infections and contamination. We're very careful. We have a hood if in case we want to mix doses and do different things, and in later on we will. Our doctors are specifically trained in IV therapy protocols, management of emergencies. And so we have a lot of fund of knowledge. And I'm always in the clinic with my team and when we're doing these treatments. And so with that, you know, we're also going to launch intramuscular injections of vitamin Bs and others as we launch our weight optimization program. So we're extending the scope of what we offer, but we're also trying to offer it to people who don't need everything longevity offers. Younger people particularly who are otherwise generally healthy and may have, for example, just one issue, weight. And we will, again, it's a chronic condition. So you want to pay attention to it now and do it right. Don't just take something that then, you know, when you stop taking it, what then? So that's why the education part of this is so important. And all of our physicians are certified and trained in weight optimization management. And hence, I feel very comfortable in our ability to help manage. But again, Dr. Mixon leads us. And so he was our leader again. And we will learn from his experience as we share that knowledge with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, lots going on in the clinic, and with especially with the IV therapies.
If those are I'm very proud of that, and particularly happy about that. I've had a treatment myself. I had it right after I got COVID, and it actually helped my recovery. I was quite sluggish. COVID did a number on me, and I was not able to smell, and I was worried that it might not come back. Mm. I did get a treatment, and I felt that it helped my recovery post-COVID. So I was very happy with the outcome. I got a boost of fluids and nutrition, and I did great with it subsequently.
Ah, wonderful news. Okay, you can find out more by calling us at 866-86-YOUNG or by going to our website, lmclinic.com, and find out more about what's going on with the weight management starting in January and also the IV therapies, which you can get right now in our clinics. Yes, feel better and stronger and more energy for the holidays. How about that? We'll take a quick break, and then we are back with your phone calls. Now is a good time to call in. Phone lines are wide open, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero
año y felicidad.
She's going to be
telling
the
door
for the job.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Oh, what a fun, happy song. Feliz Navidad, still one of those that, you know, you just can't help but smile when you hear that one. Leading Edge Medicine, good morning. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are talking about your health, and you can call in on the show. We are live today. If you have a question, don't wait until the very end of the show. Call now. The phone lines are open for you at 206-421-5757. And on our last show, show, we seem to have a lot of questions and concerns about prostate. Did I say that right?
Yeah,
I always get prostate and prostrate confused sometimes. Okay, so prostate and testosterone.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Lynette.
I'm not the doctor here in the room, and I...
Oh, we aren't.
Yes, so we have so many questions about that. So maybe we should talk a little bit about that.
Okay, well, yeah, we had a caller in
couple the, of callers.
Uh-huh, yeah, the last shows that were concerned about testosterone and prostate cancer. We got one fellow who has a dysplastic lesion in his prostate that is a pre-malignant, kind of quasi-malignant, right on the edge of becoming a prostate cancer. And he very much wants to go on testosterone, but he's afraid that it will enhance the growth of the tumor. And there is, you know, there is honest disagreement within the profession about whether or not you can safely use testosterone in prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I come down on the side of the threshold theory that says that if an androgen-sensitive tumor has any testosterone at all available to it, it will grow as fast as its genetics call for it to grow. And that adding testosterone above and beyond that is not likely to increase the growth rate of the tumor. Other people are concerned that the more testosterone you give, it may cause the tumor to grow faster.
Mm-hmm.
If the threshold theory is correct, and I think it is, then the only way to get below that threshold is to chemically or surgically castrate the guy. That will lower his androgen level all the way to the floor, and an androgen-sensitive tumor won't grow.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that doing that will often, after several years, cause that androgen-sensitive tumor to mutate into an androgen-insensitive tumor and start growing really fast.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay.
Okay. So there are people now that even with even the people that think that testosterone will make it grow faster are using the chemicals to shut down testosterone for a while, and then they let the guy have testosterone for a while.
Mm.
Then they shut it down for a while, then let him have it for a while.
Mm.
They're kind of having it both ways.
To prevent the resistant tumor from growing.
Prevent the resistant tumor from developing, yes.
Yeah.
So by giving the man, allowing him to have testosterone some of the time, but not other parts of the time. I'm not at all sure that adding testosterone makes a difference anyway. It does. Shutting down testosterone has an enormous impact on a man, because men and women are designed to have testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Even in women, testosterone is the primary female hormone. It's not estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
An average young woman has 2.5 to 3 times more testosterone in her bloodstream than she has estrogen. But there is some evidence developing that in men who have had prostate cancer and it's been treated, and we no longer believe they have the tumor. And the reason I say I have to phrase it that way is there could be some cancer there we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could have already spread a few cells somewhere, and we just haven't found them yet.
Mm.
So in people we don't think have any residual tumor, giving them testosterone may in fact lower their risk of getting a tumor reoccurrence. So to get a second prostate cancer, it appears actually having testosterone lowers that risk.
Mm.
We know that in men generally, men that have very low testosterone get prostate cancer at the very same rate as men who have high testosterone.
Oh.
But the men with low testosterone tend to get a more aggressive tumor that will kill them.
Okay.
Okay. Men in the top quintile of weight have 30% higher risk of dying of their prostate cancer than men in the bottom quintiles of weight.
Mm-hmm.
So men with low fat get less and less risk of an aggressive prostate cancer. Mm. And men with low testosterone have a higher risk. Mm. So I think that, you know, this is contrary to the common belief. Mm. Nevertheless, many oncologists don't want their men that have an active prostate cancer to receive testosterone, mm-hmm. because there's disagreement, and honest, good physicians, you know, have different points of view.
Yeah.
So, wow. All right.
You know, I remember clearly the first guy with prostate cancer I ever gave testosterone. And he was a young man. He was in his 40s.
Mm.
And he had a testosterone dependent cancer. They had done his surgery, and then they put him on Lupron to shut down. So it was a chemical castration. They dropped his testosterone level to zero, and he felt so horrible.
Oh.
Depression, fatigue, he couldn't exercise, oh. his sex life died, and, you know, in his 40s, he had a wife in her 30s.
Oh, wow.
He had just, you know, a horrible quality of life. And he came in and sat in my exam room and said, "Doctor, what you tell me today is going to decide whether I live or die." He said, "I cannot go on living like this. Mm. I will kill myself if you do not put me back on testosterone."
Wow. Okay. I was going to ask, is it reversible?
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
And so I said, well, you know, there is a quality of life issue, and you have to have life to have any quality.
Mm. Yes.
So I put him back on testosterone. And basically, you know, counteracted his Lupron. He perked up. He got cheerful. He went back to exercising. He was able to make love to his wife. He got his quality of life back. And, you know, his feeling was he would rather take his chances with the prostate cancer than to live half a life. Mm. The good news is that's not the experience of all men. Some men, we suppress their Lupron, mm-hmm. or we give them Lupron and suppress their testosterone. They don't feel as good, but they don't feel nearly that bad either.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they have an acceptable quality of life that they're mm-hmm. willing to have mm-hmm. Without the testosterone. Mm-hmm. So once more, just as I am hypersensitive to
the semaglutide,
some men are more depressed and responsive to losing their testosterone than others.
Right.
And, you know, in medicine, we should take into account how our treatments are affecting that one individual.
Right.
And it's their life, not ours.
Yeah.
We don't have a right to tell them you have to do this or can't do that.
Right.
We have to tell them, here are your choices. Here's what we know about those choices.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your life and it has to be your choice.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult decision, and your patient was very young. We struggle with, even in our older patients, that now, you know, are struggling with, the doc says, I can't use it, yet it enhances my quality of life. I remember the first time I had a gentleman, he was in his 80s. He had a lot of other medical issues, hypertensive, coronary artery disease, diabetic, and I actually sent him to you. In those days, I was really scared, and I said, you need to go talk to Dr. Mixon. I know what to tell you, but you need to. So I sent him to you for a consultation, and we did have him sign a release document. We always do. This is your decision. And he said to me that he couldn't live like this. He knew he had a prostate cancer, and they told him that it would probably not kill him. Something else would kill him first. Mm-hmm. And given all of his other medical conditions, something else would have. But in the meantime, he wanted to be alive.
Yes.
And he chose to go on testosterone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a reasonable choice, especially in your 80s.
Yes.
You know, a guy in his 40s has got a long time for that cancer to grow and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got people in their 70s and 80s,
mm-hmm.
they are getting close to the end of their natural lifespan at any event.
Mm-hmm.
Even if a prostate cancer were to start growing again, and this is my feeling with this fellow that has the dysplasia, at his age, even if the tumor started growing again,
mm-hmm.
the odds on it killing him are very, very low. The odds on him dying from a heart attack or a stroke are a multiple of his risk of dying from the cancer.
Right, right. And then sometimes, you know, we also talk to the treating oncologist, like my other gentleman, also in his 80s, who was undergoing radiation therapy, but told me, they know I'm on testosterone. They haven't told me to stop. I don't want you to stop because my wife doesn't like it when I don't have it. And he, yes. Yeah, my wife is mad at you. And I'm like, okay, well, how can we fix this? And you know, we did put him on it. And then we had a conversation with this treating oncologist to adjust.
Yep. Riley, when we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the studies on people that have been put on the androgen ablation therapy and how they do and what their lifespans are and what they live and die from.
Okay.
All
those
right.
Those are interesting numbers.
Yeah. There you go. That's what we're talking about right now. And if you have a question about this topic or any other topic, maybe your diagnosis or some symptoms or health concerns that you have, please give us a call. You can be on the air with us. We are live in the studio. The number to call is 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with a little Christmas for you. How nice. I love that our producer added in some Christmas music for us.
Yes. Lovely, lovely.
Oh, I'm Lynette. Dr. Samira Umat here in the studio and Dr. Jerry Mixon. We'll talk about any of your health or aging questions that you want. Maybe something that you're dealing with personally or something you're not quite understanding about a diagnosis.
You don't have to sit and listen to us prattling at all.
No,
you
know, no.
You can call about your medical problems.
That's right. 206-421-5757. But Dr. Mixon, you were going to continue on this topic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the standard therapy for the urologists is if a guy has a androgen-sensitive prostate cancer, to put him on an androgen blocker, and you drop his androgen levels to zip.
Okay.
And indeed, that will cause an androgen-sensitive tumor to slow or stop its growth, or even regress and get smaller. So the studies originally were quite encouraging because they showed that when you did this, fewer men died of prostate cancer. And we said, yes, that's wonderful. And the urologists, of course, that's their concern is your prostate cancer. They're just overjoyed at this. And so they pass around these androgen blockers like candy. The problem is that testosterone dramatically protects you against heart attacks. It's more than twice as effective of preventing heart attacks than the statins are. And it prevents depression, so you don't die of suicide. And, you know, it stimulates the stem cells in your bones so you don't get osteoporosis and fractures and end up in the nursing home with your broken hip. So it turns out that the urologists are thrilled because the guys didn't die of prostate cancer, but they died of heart attacks and strokes and diabetes and hip fracture.
Other things, yeah.
So you prevent this cause of death, and you dramatically increase all these other causes of death. And so if instead of looking at who died of just the prostate cancer, if you say, how long do these people live from all this other stuff? You get a very different answer. So if you've got an aggressive prostate cancer in a 40-year-old, okay, that's a different question. But if you've got it in a 75 or 80-year-old, now you got to start asking yourself, what else am I going to do this guy? Because he's already at high risk of stroke and high risk of diabetes and high risk of heart attacks. And he's probably getting some degree of osteoporosis already. How much of that do I want to make worse to lower his risk of dying from the prostate cancer? Okay. So that's the balancing act. And that's why I say Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help, is also strong enough to hurt. There's a downside to every decision we make, whether to treat with this or treat with that, to treat with this dose, treat with that dose, to treat it all or let it run its natural course. Because every choice we make in medicine has a downside. And so the doctor's job is not to do things for you that have no risks. They don't exist. Okay? Life has risks. The doctor's job is to give you as many benefits on balance as possible with as few downsides as practical. And that's what doctors need to do. Our problem is we get focused. The cardiologist only sees the heart. The psychiatrist only sees your mood. The urologist only sees your bladder and prostate, you know.
But also the litigation fear, Jerry. You know, physicians, lawyers are marching up and down.
I know.
And calling everybody with anything. Did you have this done? You know, call me. I will get you some money.
I know,
Oh, boy. Yes. Okay, so what about for breast cancer and estrogen? We hear, you know, we've talked about prostate cancer and
well, let's go with
testosterone. So
you know, again, we used to think that estrogen caused breast cancer. We now know that if you give a woman estrogen within 10 years of menopause, you will reduce her risk of breast cancer about 30%. So if you take a woman in her mid-50s to early 60s and give her estrogen, you're going to lower the risk of breast cancer 30%. You're not going to increase it. Now, that doesn't mean that if you give it to an older woman, you will increase it. It means you don't get the decrease. Because if a woman is out 15 or 20 years, she's probably already got the breast cancer started. It's too late to reduce the risk. Okay. So with estrogen, we want to give it to the women before it's too late. So within 10 years of menopause, we know that it will lower the risk of breast cancer. After that, it doesn't lower the risk of breast cancer by a statistically significant amount. It doesn't mean it doesn't lower it at all, but you don't reach statistical significance if it's more than 10 years. On the other hand, when they did the study on estrogen and breast cancer, what they found was it lowered the risk of breast cancer by 30%. It lowered the risk of heart attacks by 40% because estrogen's an anti-inflammatory, so the women put less plaque in their arteries. It lowered the risk of colon cancer by 42%.
Wow.
The women
that
had,
one surprised me.
Yes.
Wow.
It increased the risk of clots in their legs, but did not increase the risk of stroke.
And that was with the oral.
Yeah. With the transdermal, we shouldn't even get the increased risk of clot in the legs because we don't give that high blood level. So estrogen, although it may be too late to lower the risk of breast cancer, the woman still has a heart.
And a brain. And bones.
Yes. And colons. So, you know, if she didn't get around, we didn't get around to treating her until she's 75, we probably can't lower her risk of breast cancer by giving her estrogen. But we can probably still help her heart and her colon and her brain and her bones.
And her skin.
And she will look better. And her mood.
Yeah, hair.
All of that. She still has the rest of her body to look after. And if we raise her risk of testosterone up to where it ought to be, we'll probably lower her risk of breast cancer even late. Because even women that already have a breast cancer, raising the risk, raising the testosterone load helps make the cancer shrink. So, you know, breast cancer, prostate cancer, they're both hormonally sensitive, but the responses are different from what the usual and customary.
Right. And testosterone in and of itself will actually reduce a lot of the other symptoms postmenopausal women are experiencing.
They sleep better. They stop their hot flashes. They stop their mood swings. You know, they
vaginal dryness, vaginal, pain.
Oh, yeah, the vaginal dryness. Well, and the loss of libido may come back. She may actually, you know, return to a romantic relationship with her husband.
Right.
Because it's that low, low testosterone that often makes a woman lose interest in sex. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the hormonal replacement in late life can still be of significant difference or a significant improvement.
All right. Lots of good information
I see that in my patient population all the time. And it's really remarkable to me as I watch these patients continue with their therapies but also live a robust life. I met my couple yesterday. They've been with us a very long time, Dr. Mixon. He's now going 88, will be 89 in January when he's going to get his pacemaker. But, you know, he's still driving. They're now retired. She's retired. She's 82. They live together. They've had ups and downs in health, but they use the supplements. They use the hormones. Cognitively, very sharp. Memory still intact. You know, they contribute a lot to society. They just returned from a trip to Canada where they went for some work. They volunteer with an organization. And a national organization. So they travel everywhere, Alaska, Oregon, this area, Seattle area. And it's just fun to watch them be active members of society. They have so much experience. She was telling me how she was president of this society and all the things she did and how people still remember what she did when she was president. It was just fun, you know, and they're still active and participating and enjoying life.
And isn't that our goal?
Yes.
That's what we want to do.
That's what longevity is all about.
Absolutely.
Longevity, not just survival.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Live while you're alive.
Live while you're alive and make that appointment to come in to see us for your free health analysis appointment and get started so that you will understand what all these hormones are, what all these numbers are, all these things that are so important for you to know. To get that appointment at any of our locations, Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood, make your appointment with us today at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and you can call and be part of our show today. Call in with your questions. Don't wait until the very last part of the show. We want to make sure to spend as much time with you as possible. Here's our number. Phone lines are open at 206-421-5757. We'll be back.
A bushel's of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle
that's a fun
bell,
one.
It is.
Jingle bell rock.
Jingle bell.
Hi there. Good morning. This is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. Hi there. Here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, focusing on testosterone and prostate cancer. Also been talking about hormones with breast cancer today, but we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. And the phone lines are open, 206-421-5757. We're headed to Tacoma. And Tammy, you had a question about what we were discussing. Good morning.
Yes. My parents were a patient of you guys, and the Overas, and they did a a very happy life with you.
Good.
All of your all the things.
Wonderful.
But right now I have breast cancer, and I've been talking to Dr. Glasser, but she's only working part time, and so maybe I'll be in this year. I mean this week, hopefully, but I'm not sure, and I have to find a surgeon either in Tacoma or Seattle.
Yes.
And I don't know. They give me one, but I just said, well, I wanted to wait, and so.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your breast cancer? What is the scoring on it? Have they done a biopsy? You've got the genetics?
Yes. On the left breast, I have a mass at 2.00.
Okay.
And it's measuring 0.9 centimeter, and it's marked with a clip right at the moment. It's marked with a clip.
Okay.
That's the one. And then I have another one measuring 1.7 based on a pre-biopsy mammogram. And I've had the MRI and I've had everything done now. So I'm waiting for Dr. Glasser. He'll be, you know, she'll be in this week maybe.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that she's backing off, but, you know.
Yeah, she's published amazing articles on testosterone
sure
and breast cancer.
Yeah, and I hope somebody is picking somebody in that clinic is
she
picking
might,
up
yeah.
her, you know, her work because it'd be a shame to have it stop.
I know she's they said she's working right now half a month each month right now.
Okay,
well, so you've gone to 50%. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
All right.
Right.
And that's sad because only 50% as many people can see her.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, and the trick, of course, is, you know, what kind of procedure. You got two separate lesions in there, so that's worrisome because that tells us that statistically you got two lesions big enough we can see them. There are probably others that are so small we have not been able to identify them yet.
So would they have not shown up on the MRI? Even on the MRI, they
well,
would
again,
show up?
You got to remember that the spread tumors start at one cell. Okay, so one cell goes out somewhere, and that's just too tiny. I mean, that's smaller than the head of a pin. And then whatever its reproductive time is, maybe every month or every 2 months or every 3 months, it doubles in size. And then another 2 or 3 months, it doubles again and doubles again. It usually takes 3 to 10 years for a tumor to get big enough for us to find it on our mammograms and so on. Now, ultrasound can probably find it sooner. But when a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer, she didn't just get it the day we diagnosed it. That was the day we found it. It's probably been there for years, even up to a decade. So that's the worrisome. So if you've already got two that we know of, then on a pure odds, you know, statistical basis, there's a good chance there's others in that breast that we don't know of yet. That's what worries me.
Well, right. And they have one on the other side too, that they're going to do they're going to take out some of that too. It's called a 1.2 based on a pre-biopsy mammogram. On the right breast, they're going to take out at the same time.
Good. All right. Yeah, and then they'll know what that is, whether it's a malignant lesion or not.
Right.
And does it share the same genome as the other breast? If the genome is identical, then it is a spread from the other breast. If the genome is not identical, then it developed, you know, on its own, independently, in the other breast. I don't like either one of those answers. But the fact that you got breast cancer on both sides is pretty worrisome. So we need not only a good surgeon, you need a really, really cutting-edge, aggressive oncologist. And, of course, I don't know those people personally because I don't deal with them.
Right.
Fred Hutch has a very good reputation in these circles.
They do.
Jerry, even at NAMS, they're very popular and they go by what Fred Hutch is recommending.
Yeah.
We're lucky we have them right here.
Well, you know, that study we were discussing in the last segment about the heart and breast and colon, that all came from Fred Hutch. Yeah.
Right. And that's where I was planning on looking.
Yes, good.
You know.
Okay. It's a great place, so, you know, go.
But I just don't know, you know, how do I get a recommendation there from, you know, I'm...
Well,
you know,
whoever your... whoever your primary care doctor is, I mean, if you tell them, I want to see the oncologist at Fred Hutchinson, they'll give you the referral.
Yeah.
They will. I don't know any doctor who will not refer to Fred Hutch if you ask.
Right.
So ask.
Okay. So just ask them to recommend someone at Fred Hutch?
To recommend someone or to make a referral at Fred Hutch. And then, you know.
Right.
The Hutch will put you through a screening process. Mm. And then they will select your surgeon based on what their screening process is. So you'll get to a good person. They're not going to pawn you off on an intern.
Do you think it matters whether it's Seattle or Tacoma or? I mean,
not really.
Better?
No.
Okay.
Not really. And frankly, if I had to walk downtown, I'd rather walk downtown in Tacoma than Seattle these days. But then.
Right.
I don't go to Seattle.
That's what I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know if I should pick Tacoma or Seattle, if it mattered or.
Whichever is closer to you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That would be good. Okay.
When are you going to see Dr. Glaser?
She's going to this week.
This week.
She's
wonderful.
She's going to be back in. Right. She's been, and I've done all the tests that she needed, you know, all the medical things that she needed.
Good.
And so I want to, you know, of course, that I hope she'll take me too.
Yes. Well, you know, and again, she may know someone out here.
Right.
You know, that does things in a similar manner to her.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, who do you know in the Pacific Northwest? And don't limit it to your town. You know, the closest person that she has confidence in is in Oregon, drive to Oregon, you know, or Salt Lake, mm-hmm. or wherever you need to. Okay,
that's good.
I was definitely going to fly back to see her, so I'm hoping.
Yes,
you know,
well,
definitely.
Yeah, see who she has confidence in, and go see that person because I have great confidence in her just based on her all the papers I read of hers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're welcome. And listen,
you,
afterwards, call us and let us know what you discovered.
Mm-hmm. I'm a clinic right now. I go to the Tacoma one all the time.
Oh, okay. Great.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Take care, right here.
Thank you, Tammy. All right. We're going to go to break here in just a moment. But quick off-air question. Someone was wanting to know, you were talking about your videos that you're recording.
Yes.
Those are for our website, but she wanted to know, will those be available for DVD?
As a DVD?
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't even occurred to me.
Yeah. Because everyone pretty much has access to the internet and should be able to see it at any time.
Yeah, they can stream it any time they want and they can download it. Mm-hmm. But, of course, that means they have to know how to download and stream, and some older folks are not.
There you go. Yeah, they may need help from their children or
grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. Right. So we'll let you know more as soon as those are available.
I'm going to talk to the staff and see if I can. It shouldn't cost us a lot to knock out some DVDs.
Very good. But we're not done yet. We've got hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine on the way and some calls ready to go. And here's our number to get in touch with us, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back after this break.